And we need God. We need the grace of God in this hour. And you know, there's lives right here in this house besides my own that needs God so bad that you might not even make it through another day without Him. We need to get Him right here tonight. Can you say amen? Won't you lift your hands, ask the Lord to direct the rest of this service tonight. Turn with me tonight to the book of Revelation. Amen. Everybody see my prop up here? Everybody see this chair? Amen. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 12. Need the Lord to help me tonight. Need the Lord to help you. I feel the Lord's presence, and as Paul said, there was a door open unto him effectual, but there were many adversaries. Amen. I think sometimes there's a character that we forget about, and I'm going to preach about tonight. And I hopefully won't preach a long, boring message to you. But I want to preach from this scripture right here. To the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat. Thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I want to preach tonight on Satan's seat. He said, I know, amen, where thou dwellest, and I even know where Satan's seat is. Amen. Now, I feel in my heart tonight, I want to try to help somebody in this house. Now, I think sometimes that we forget about this guy, Satan, because he wants you to forget about it. He is the most subtle beast of the field. Amen. And he wants to come off as subtle as he can. But the Bible teaches us that he has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Amen. And so the Bible says we have an adversary who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. What I want to preach tonight, maybe not a very, amen, pleasant, amen, text, amen, but it's one that I feel like, amen, that if I can preach to us and we can understand tonight, amen, the devil, amen, has a desire to find a place, not only in our world, but he wants a seat in our life. Amen. And the church at Pergamos, amen, oh, feel the Lord in this house. I believe that we must understand. You know, Jesus said in one of his parables, he talked about a field, and the Bible said that while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And then when it came up, there were tares, and it brought confusion, and it brought a question in their mind. Should we pull the tares up out of the wheat? And the Lord said, no, let them grow until that day. And then when he began to expound upon that parable, amen, he said, look, here's what this parable means. And when he began to point out what the seed was and the kingdom of God, and he pointed out the enemy, amen, that came in while men slept. Praise God. And he said, the enemy, amen, is the devil. And you might wonder tonight, how did he get in here? I wonder in this little old church right here, these precious four walls, amen, you wondering where's all the trouble coming from? I'll tell you what, amen, the devil has found a seat. Can you see this chair? Amen, the devil has found a seat somewhere, amen, where he can not only just pass through, the Bible says he comes as a roaring lion, amen. God asked the devil, I feel like I got the message for you tonight. Amen. Ask the devil, where have thou been? And he said, walking to and fro in all the earth. Now, brother, I remember Mom and Betty's sister, Annabelle, Sis. Amen. And I remember she loved the fact that I was a preacher. Amen. And she told me one time I was going through a trial. Amen. And it may seem real simple to you, but I know she was praying for me. And she said, one day she was just going through my house, and she just stopped all of a sudden. And Sis was a little simple, and people thought she didn't know really what was going on sometime. But brother, she did know when it came to the things of the Lord. And she stopped and looked at me and said, you just hold on, son. When the devil gets to where he's going, you'll be all right. And you say, what does that mean? That means he was just walking through my life. Amen. I want to tell you what's happened to some of us right here in this house. The devil hasn't just took a walk through your life. He has pulled him up a chair and he sat down. Amen. He sat down in your life. Amen. Come on. And I'll tell you, it's time. Amen. Amen, that we did something about it. Somebody say amen. The Lord said, I know where thou dwellest. I know you've been faithful, but there's something I've got to talk to you about. I know where you're at, and I know where Satan's seat is. And I'll tell you what, if we allow the devil, amen, to take up residence in our life, come on now, amen, you'll come to the altar, and you'll pray through, and you'll go right back out, and you'll have to pray through again. Again, in a few months. It's because the devil hasn't been cast out of his chair, and he's pulled up in your life and has sat down. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach this. The devil don't like this. But you know, I don't care. Huh? Now listen to me now. The Bible said, hey man, if I could find that, somebody find that verse. If you got a good concordance, I had it marked here. Now, I knew when I started this one that I was going to have some extra resistance. Amen. But that's all right. Amen. But the Bible said, amen, in Ephesians, I believe it's in the fourth chapter. Amen. If I could find it right quick. Amen. But he says, give no place, amen, to the devil. Amen. Let not the sun, am I in the right scripture? But he said, let not the sun, amen, go down on your wrath, and neither give place, amen, to the devil. Did you hear what he said? Amen. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. There are some ways that we live our life. There are places we go. There's things we think about. Amen. You know, the Bible said, be angry and sin not. It's not a sin to get angry, but it's a sin, amen, when you allow that anger, amen, to turn into action that causes you to hate and causes you to have wrath. Amen. You'd be an angel if you didn't ever get angry. Amen. But brother, he said there's a fine line between being angry at something and not liking something and disagreeing with something, amen, and letting the devil move into your life and set up a bitter chair and set up a chair of unforgiveness and set up a chair of envy and strife. Oh, somebody say amen. You wonder why we can't hardly have church, why we can't hardly have a life, amen, without turmoil. Amen. There's a seat sitting there, amen, that somebody ought to take and cast out of their life and tell the devil, amen, you're out of here. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I tell you what, amen, the Lord said, and you know the thing, Brother Zane, that caused Satan to set his seat up in this church at Pergamos. It was what they allowed. Amen. It was the tolerance of Balaam's doctrine. And Balaam's doctrine was the doctrine of sell out the truth. I wish somebody help this preacher in here tonight. Amen. Balaam's doctrine was, amen, to sell out the truth for money. I'll tell you, we've got a church world with their diamond rings and their television programs. Amen. Come on now. We've got a church, amen, that teaches their congregation how to dance and teaches them how to speak in tongues. Amen. And goes down to the beach and takes their clothes off. Amen. Come on now. Amen. He said, I've got something wrong. You've allowed the devil to move right into your church and put a seat right in front of the pulpit. It ain't no wonder we can't please God. It ain't no wonder we can't have victory. Amen. He said, I know where the devil's seat is. Bible said, give no place to the devil. Oh, come on now. I'll tell you, we are in an hour when you open, help me now. I want you to pray for the one on the pew with you, that they'll pay attention to just a few minutes of preaching here tonight, because I got a message for somebody in this house tonight. Amen. Do you wonder that nature that keeps driving you away from God? You notice that in you, it keeps driving you out to the world. Amen. It causes you not to want to pray. It causes you not to want to read your Bible. That spirit that always wants you, amen, to lean out of the church. Brother, you've allowed the devil to set up shop right in your own sweet life. Are you listening to me? Amen. You're not going to get any better until you show him the door. How is somebody say amen? The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Preach to you. This is a serious matter. I've got a burden on my soul. Oh, yeah. We are in such an evil day. Amen. Perversion. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's so much filth. And now the internet is so accessible. Amen. And there's so much vile and filth on that internet. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it's not just people say, well, boys will be boys and all of this nonsense, but it's gone beyond, amen, that right there. And it's got into demon worship. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of churches, amen, that don't lift nothing at all and profess to speak in tongues and slay in the spirit, and they fall down so much they got to
have somebody there to catch them. Amen. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, if you're not real careful, amen, when you adopt a religion that does not have morals and does not have holy living and does not have the precepts of the Bible, you are opening the door for the devil to move in. Come on now. And what chance do you have when you think your religion is right, when it's no more than the worship of Satan? Amen. We're living in a world of filth, degradation, even in the religion, even in your lives. If you're not cautious and careful, you'll get so hooked on this world and the filth of this world. And you say, I can't get over it. I tell you what, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can get over it. Brother, if you'll resist the devil, you can take the smallest little grandma in this house, amen, that's full of the Holy Ghost, and she can tell the devil to get out, and he'll have to get out. Amen. Come on now. You know what makes him stronger than you are? Amen. I'll tell you what it is. You do not have the Son of God ruling your life. Brother, if you'll get Christ in your life and let him have the throne, but the problem is you want to sit on the throne. But here's what happens. When you clear that throne of Christ and you say, I'll sit on that throne, there's someone else sits on that throne, and his seat is called the seat of Satan, and he rules the show. You're not going to rule it. You'll either let Christ rule it, amen, or Satan will rule. I'll tell you what, this little church right here, we're the best in the world, but I'll tell you what we need to do, amen, we need to take the seat of the devil and pull it out and cast it out of their church and say, you're not welcome in our church or in our life. I don't want him. I don't want the Lord looking down on King Mountain Church and saying, I see these good saints. I see the good singing you've got, and also see Satan's seat, where you won't preach holiness, where you won't hold the line because you're afraid they'll cut the offerings off. Huh? Praise God. Come on now. I don't want him, brother. No, I don't want to hear the Lord look down and say, I see King Mountain Church. I see that 140 in Sunday school and that Christian school and those 90 kids. And I see that those that are working and meeting earlier to pray. But I also see there's a seat there, amen, where they allow the devil to sit in their life. You're a pretty good soul yourself. Amen, you're pretty good. But there's a seat there that's reserved for the devil that you need to kick out of your life. Turn it upside down and tell the devil, you're not welcome. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm going to preach real long. One of these days, if I can stay home long enough, I'm going to do a series of sermons on the book of Nehemiah. There's one part in that Nehemiah when they were carried into captivity. And Nehemiah is the book where God allows Nehemiah to come back and build the walls back up around his house. Amen. And so when Nehemiah got back and they built the wall up, he began to notice something. Amen. He come back into the city of Jerusalem, and there was a man, they had went into the house of God, the priest had went into the house of God, and there was a room in that house that had been built in the temple for the storage room for the tithe and offering to go in for the Levites. They had their new wine and their fruit of the land. They'd bring that in that storage room, and that's where the preacher ate out of that room. And that's what God had ordered. That's what God had said. He that liveth of the gospel, he that preacheth the gospel, liveth of the gospel. But the priest had went in and cleaned out all the tithe and that out of the storehouse and had remodeled that little room and put a man by the name of Tobias in there. Read in Nehemiah 13, I believe in him. Now, Tobias, you remember him in the beginning. He was an agitator of Nehemiah. He tried to get him to come down off the wall. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what I like to ask so-called holiness churches in this hour. Amen. I want to ask them, where did the tithe and offering and the sacrifice go? And why is Tobias moved in, amen, to the special room in the house of God? You see, Tobias was not a Jew. He was, amen, an Ammonite. And God had told him, do not allow the Ammonites to enter into the temple of God. Amen. God has got some rules. And he's got some regulation. But you know what that priest did? He remodeled that room. He painted the walls. He moved in furniture. And he moved Tobias, the Edomite. I'll tell you what right now. You may everyone walk out and never come back. But as long as I'm living and preaching the gospel, amen, there's going to be no room on this church for Tobias. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you, in your own life, you come to church. You sit on this pew and you go out and do just happy well what you please. You watch what you please. You say what you please. You go where you please. And the Lord looks at you and he says, I see the devil's seed in your life. Come on now. I feel that challenge. I feel the devil rising up. But I want to tell you right now. That don't matter. Here's his seat. Huh? He don't have a seat here. Huh? I said, he don't have a seat here. You know what Nehemiah done? Nehemiah went down. Amen. He went in that room. He threw Tobias out. He took the furniture. He threw the furniture outside. He threw all of those trimmings. Took the home interior off the wall. Amen. Home sweet home. And he cast it right out behind Tobias. And he said, buddy, amen, you have no place in the house of God. I wish somebody would say amen. There's things you had in your life that you're not going to get no closer to God until you throw those things that pertain to the devil out of your life. I challenge you tonight in the name of Jesus. Nehemiah was a great man. He threw them out. He looked around and he saw that the priests, the Levites, had every man fled to his field. They were out there planting corn and crops and trying to live because Tobias was in their storehouse. But when he cleared out the storehouse, he said, bring your offerings. Get the preachers out of the field. Bring the tithe and offering. Put them back in. Oh, sweet. And I hope you understand I'm not talking about dollars and cents right now. I'm talking about you bringing that part that God asked for. Amen. And instead of casting that on the out and bringing the thing God said do not do back in your life. I tell you, I love living. I love life. Amen. And everybody needs a little leisure. And everybody needs, amen, some relaxation. But I tell you, when we overdose on pleasure and we overdose on leisure, and we forget what the house of God is really all about, and you just come whenever you're feeling like it, and when you get in just when you feel like getting in, I want to tell you, there's a seat setting up in your life, and the Lord sees it. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I want you to bow your heads with me just a minute here. Now, you've got to be careful, children. Listen to me. There are folks in this house tonight that the devil calls every turn for them, and they don't even realize it. They think they're running the show. Isn't that sad? Huh? Isn't that sad? They're not doing what God said do. He's not running the show. They think they're running the show. But they're not.
The devil's seating. He is seating in the chief seat. And he's telling you the moves to make. He causes you to hurt those that you love the most. He causes you to disrespect God. He causes you, when you get home at night, he causes you to look at filth and allow your mind to go to perversion. That's the devil does that. I tell you what, right now, that homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle. It is an abomination in the sight of God. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at filth and you look at a woman and lust after her and she's not your wife, you've committed adultery in your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, when you don't have any love for your home, you're a mother and you don't love your children, you're a wife and you don't love your husband, you're a husband and you don't really care for your family. It comes church time and you don't care whether you go or not. There's somebody calling the shots. And I'll tell you what you need to do tonight. I'm going to tell you now. And I'll tell you, we blame a lot of stuff on our ancestors and on our makeup and the genes in our blood and all of that nonsense. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a devil, amen, that if he can weasel his way in and set up his seat. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You think you've got it hid from everybody. You do not. I believe when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you can look at a face and just about tell if it's sincere or not. I'm not saying we won't be deceived. I know we have been. I know we will. I don't want to know everything. I couldn't handle it. But you think you've got it hid. It's not hid. I tell you what you ought to do. Just like I kicked this little prop over. And I told Isaac before church, I said, I want a chair that's already tore up. Because I don't want to tie up any. We're having a hard enough time keeping them together. But I said, I want a chair that I can kick and tear up. And as an illustration to let you know, you have the authority in Jesus Christ to tell the devil, you ain't staying here, son. You're not running my life. Huh? Now, if you're not committed to Jesus Christ, you can't do that. You're going to leave here shackled just like you came. Bow your heads. Lord, we ask you to touch this audience. Lord, I feel that opposition, but you're greater than they are. You're greater than them spirits that are in this place. Lord, there are precious lives here that are such good quality individuals that are in this house tonight. But they have one problem. They've allowed Satan to set up a seat in their lives. And now it's time, Lord, we ask you, by the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, to kick the devil out of their lives. In the name of Jesus. I want you to lift your hands, saints. Ask the Lord to deal with lives right here. We're going to start making our way to the church, to the front, to the altar. It's going to happen if Satan has his way. What happens if he stays in that seat for the rest of your days? What happens? Satan desires to have you. What happens if he gets in your marriage? Just in one of you. What if he gets in one of you and he won't let you rest until you've cheated? What if he finds a place in your heart and he won't let you rest until you've believed false doctrine and you walk out saying, I don't believe holiness is right anyway? What happens if he gets in your heart and he sets up a seat in your life and he wrecks your nerves and he gets you so paranoid that you can't believe God and can't trust God and have no joy in your soul anymore? What happens? I know we go through trials. And I know he passes through our lives, but he doesn't have to stay. We have the authority. Somebody say amen. I want us to make our way down. And, you know, people get sick because of fallen nature. of Adam sinned and brought sickness into this world. We have some great people here that are sick. And I'll tell you what, we need to get a hold of God. And I'll tell you what the devil will do. He'll try his best to hinder you from praying so these people will die and get out of the way. But we have got to resist the devil. How many understands what I'm preaching to you tonight? I want us to be easing our way around this altar, and let us pray through here tonight. If you're here tonight and you know that the devil is getting a grip on your soul, I want you to come right here and plead the blood. He'll turn loose of you if you'll plead the blood.